Garden of Rapport is a program that will help bring people closer to you as you begin to understand their inner world. Rapport is the process by which we create an atmosphere of understanding and connection and trust with another person. Many of us have rapport and don't even know we're having rapport, and at times we're breaking rapport without understanding what are the behaviors that cause that to happen. And so this training will help you to focus on those things that build and break rapport. Rapport brings understanding. It helps us to understand that other person where they are, and when we have that understanding, it lays the groundwork for any effective communication. It also can be built and it can be broken. And we realize that people are not static, that there's a constant movement between two people. We're either getting closer or moving more away. As we increase our influence with others, then we're able to communicate in such a way that will produce change, not only in them, but as well as ourselves. And you will also build confidence and trust with your own abilities once you learn the skills and understand what it is that actually helps you build that kind of trust. Neuro-linguistic programming is a discipline whose domain really is the structure of subjective experience. So we call it NLP for short. And in the 1970s, there were a group of people out of the University of California in Berkeley, Richard Bandler and John Grinder, who was a linguistics professor, who studied effective communicators and effective therapists and found that there were actual traits of what made these people effective. And they looked at neurology, that is our brain, our ways of processing information, whether it's visual, auditory, or kinesthetic. They looked at our linguistics, the speech patterns, the thought patterns that were effective. And program deals with the field of computer science and looking at these from a program point of view. Most of communication is nonverbal. Many of us might find this hard to believe, that 93% of communication is nonverbal and that only 7% is the words. But really, if I said, honey, I love you and just want to make sure you do the right thing because I don't want to see you hurt. Or I could say, honey, I love you and I just want to make sure you do the right thing because I don't want to see you hurt. So I didn't really change the words, but changing the tone, the stance, how I'm standing or sitting, how I'm gesturing makes all the world a difference. When we match other people's body postures, then we are building rapport at a nonverbal level. If we are matching the 93%, we are going to be much more effective than if we're just matching the 7%, which is the words. So, well, you can say goodbye to worrying about the right thing to say, and now start concerning yourself with how you say it. With matching body postures, we look at how is a person sitting. Do they have their legs crossed? Are their arms folded? And this really isn't about body language, which, oh, sometime back was about the what does this mean? You know, someone with their arms folded could mean that they're cold, that they could be defensive, or they didn't use enough antiperspirant. But this is just about plain matching them. So if someone gestures off and right, then you can begin to gesture off and right as well. You could imagine a plumb line kind of drawn right through the middle of your head down your spine, and imagine what angle that is at. Rarely do people sit perfectly perpendicular to the ground of the chair. So we match the angle, and when you do that, you're going to build a greater sense of connection. And just try mismatching a little, and you'll find that the person will shift in their seat to match you. Rhythm refers to the aspect of a movement. Some people wiggle their feet or tap a pencil or nod their head in a certain kind of rhythm. By matching the rhythm, we can begin to match the nonverbal communication, and they'll feel much more connected than if I'm not moving. And of course, if the person you're communicating with is not moving themselves, then it would be better to be as still as you could be. This is all about matching with integrity. This is not meant to try to have us be someone we're not, but to move in a direction closer to the people around us. There are gestures that we can match. When some people point off and down and or up and start talking about a certain project, by gesturing yourself off to where pointing in space, of course we have no idea what we're pointing to, but they know what they're pointing to at an unconscious level. They're going to feel much more connected. Other considerations, you might consider if someone's drinking something, you might drink something with them. Or there are times when I use glasses I wear to actually match the clients I work with. And matching style of clothing and environment is also useful. Matching tonality is important as well. This is probably what pushes people's buttons more than anything else. That 38% of communication, the nonverbal, is from tone. So this refers to things like volume, tempo, tone or pitch, timbre or pauses, or melody. So volume has to do with the loudness or the softness of how I speak. If someone I'm working with is talking really loud and is talking about a project that needs to get done and we're under a time crunch, and I say, well, you know, let's look at the steps of what we need to do to get this done, they're not going to feel as connected as if I match that volume and match this the rate of speech. I'm talking rather quickly so that I can get all this in just about an hour program here. But, you know, there are people that speak with pauses, that speak in a slower manner. There's a certain fluidity of their speech. And so if I match that by talking in that sort of cadence, they're going to feel much more connected than if I'm rattling 100 miles an hour while they're on their first word. And of course, there are people that talk quicker. And in fact, as fast as I talk, recently I've had some people where they're talking much faster. And I need to be energized and to match that. And you know, I can begin to match and then slowly begin to slow the conversation down if that's a direction I want to take it. And of course, if they do follow me, then I can say I've had some kind of rapport. But if they don't, then no worries. What I do is I just continue to go back to matching them where they are. Timbre has to do with the quality of voice. If I were to talk behind my teeth, you would hear kind of a different timbre than if I were to talk in the roof of my mouth versus to talk back in my throat where I'm focusing the energy there versus if I'm talking in my chest. Accents. People from various parts of the country end up having a timbre that can be different. Southern accents or people from back east will end up having a different timbre than someone in the west or the midwest. And of course, it's all about being respectful. So this is not about mirroring in such a way that looks parroting and mimicking where it would cause disrespect. In fact, that's a fear people have. They say, well, what if someone catches on? You know, in the 18 years that I've known about this, I've never really had anybody ever catch on. With a few exceptions of people who have taken the training and right after the training seeing that I may be matching. This even works with couples, really. In fact, them knowing that each other is working hard to match doesn't really stop them from having a good communication. What it does is it says a clear statement, I care about you, And I'm willing to leave my map of how I see things to move towards yours. Melody is one of the most important aspects of tone. You put together volume and pitch and tempo in a certain way, and you're going to end up with a melody. If I were to say, "Oh, what you doing?" That's going to really be different than when I say, "Oh, what you doing?" Or, "Wow, you did that quickly." "Wow, you did that quickly." I didn't change the words, but changing how I said it makes the difference. Melody is what will make us regress and feel much younger. It'll make us feel patronized. It will make us feel encouraged or loved. So what you want to do is match the melody of the person you're with, but not in the exact 100% strength. In fact, you may want to match melody maybe 60-70%. And then you will find that they feel understood, that they feel like you're really understanding what their issue is that they want to discuss. Well, at this time, you're probably a little bit overwhelmed with all that you could really track and notice when communicating with people. And so I wanted to take this time to talk about how your unconscious minds really are geared to help you learn these skills and to use these skills without thinking. Remember when you were riding a bike for the very first time? It seemed very overwhelming. You were trying to maintain your balance and the steering of the handlebars and your feet on the pedals, and the motion of pedaling, and it seemed just like this is not going to happen. But you kept on trying, and by endurance you ended up getting there. Well, now you may hop on a bicycle and do these things without even thinking. So what happened? Well, you began with a conscious incompetence. You were aware of the difficulty of riding a bike. You were aware of how difficult it was to balance and to steer and to pedal. But through conscious competence, through practice, you got better and better. You developed a conscious ability to ride a bike. Well, eventually, that conscious competence moved into a different area called unconscious competence. This is where you can ride a bike without thinking. So many of us communicate without thinking. We may not even think about how we're communicating, but we just start talking. This may work for us, or it may not. But the purpose of this program is to encourage you how to be consciously aware of what works. But if I left you there, you would be straining yourself and very tired. So after you move from this state of unconscious incompetence, where you begin to realize you don't even know what you don't know, and perhaps this training has helped you to have more conscious incompetence to help you know what you don't know at a conscious level. And you know, this can be frustrating. We who are perfectionists might be frustrated, and how can this happen, and I'd like to do this perfectly. But if we're patient with ourselves, we are going to be able to do this in a matter of time, and we'll develop that conscious competence, and then eventually move to unconscious competence, where we are using the rapport skills unconsciously in a swift and easy sort of way.